Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And today we are dishing up leadership lessons.
We're dishing them up.
We are.
So what do we mean by that, Angie?
Well, recently, Tanya and I and a couple of other friends took a trip to New York City and to Boston.
We did.
And let me tell you what we did in one word. We ate.
We ate our way through New York City and then we ate our way through Boston.
Boy, did we. We had
amazing.
Three squares a day without fail. And it was amazing. We had some amazing foods.
Yes.
And when Tanya and I were talking about what we wanted to bring to you all today, of course, we're really leaning into leadership lessons. And we're looking for those lessons really in everything that we do.
Yeah.
And as we were thinking about our original plan was we wanted to bring you some thoughts on our experiences in New York City and in Boston, because we were at a National Association of Realtors conference. We had a little fun in New York and then went to Boston and had more fun, but also was attending the conference and trying to pick up some leadership lessons there as well. But as we were discussing what we wanted to do, we like we said, the main thing that we did throughout the trip was eat. And what lessons did we learn from the experiences that we had eating our way across those two cities?
Agree. And I don't think that often you would drill your eating experiences down to leadership lessons. But when you start to think about it and think about each experience and how we felt, and we'll give you those little details as we move along here, I think that merely everything we do and every experience we have, we learn something to take forward. So we'll take this experience forward on our next vacation, right?
Right.
Because we learned something from the different pattern of behavior that we had.
Right. And, you know, we've mentioned on past podcasts, and we'll mention again, things like we have to be aware of our surroundings. We mentioned looking up. We talked about that on a podcast a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I really tried to take that to heart on all my walks as we were walking through Central Park, just really looking up and paying attention to what's around you, because there are lessons in everything we do and in every experience that we have. So we're going to give you an example of that today.
We sure are.
And I think these are in no particular order. We're going to bounce around from New York to Boston.
Right.
I think one of our favorite places, I think I can speak for both of us, was a little place called the Barking Crab.
Yes.
And it was in Boston on the wharf. And what was so cool about the Barking Crab? The food was amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Probably, I want to say, the best we had as far as seafood goes.
Mm-hmm.
So Boston, obviously, on the harbor there, they're known for their seafood.
Right.
And we were drawn to the Barking Crab because of the way it looked.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a point that we're going to make here.
Yeah.
And the first leadership lesson is stay true to who you are.
Right.
Okay.
So the Barking Crab has been there. I don't know. We should have looked up. Did you look up?
I looked it up.
Okay. How long has it been there?
1994. And it opened as a seasonal restaurant. So it was only open in the season of the summer and not in the winter.
Okay.
So to give you guys a visual, we walked from one side of the harbor to the other, so to speak. And it sits right on a bridge on the water. And when you look down off the bridge, which is where we first spotted it, it really looks like a shack, a good sized shack, but it looks like a metal and wood, bright colored red building that you look down upon that sits right on the water. And it looks old and worn. So for it to be 1994, that's not that old.
I would have guessed it older than that.
Agree.
So
this was their 30-year anniversary in 24. And they had such a following mm-hmm. that they turned it into a year-round restaurant.
Okay.
So that kind of speaks volumes to our experience.
Right, it does.
So as we walked into the Barking Crab, it has a whole, like it's a whole wall that sits next to the harbor, mm-hmm. opens up with roll down, what do you call those? Roll down...
plastic windows. Right. I mean, if that, yes. I don't know if that's yeah. a thing, okay. but that's how we...
That's yeah. probably not what I would have said, but I couldn't think of what else they would be. So the plastic windows. So yeah. on the night we were there, it was... had been a beautiful day, up yeah. to 80 degrees.
Yeah.
So it was probably in the 70s that night. Mm-hmm. The roll-up windows were up. Mm-hmm. And yeah. the whole vibe inside was very old-school harbor seafood.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So picture that in your
yeah.
mind.
Yeah. It's not unlike a place you would see down at the lake.
Agree.
You know, on yes. Table Rock.
Just wooden tables, yeah. nothing fancy nothing, whatsoever. Nothing.
Yes, but such good food. And it was hard to decide what we were going to have. But the atmosphere, yes, was fun. It was a cool vibe. And back to the lesson of staying true to who you are. So right. In 2018, the National Association of Realtors had a conference there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been back a couple of times since then. So where this sits is in the middle of a bunch of brand new mm-hmm. buildings. That whole seaport area has been built up. We couldn't have our conference in the seaport area where we had it this year
right.
in 2018 because it wasn't done yet.
Got it.
So we had the conference on the land side on towards... closer to Boylston Street, if you're familiar with Boston. So in the older part of the city, because we could see tons of construction going on that seaport side, mm-hmm. but it was just that. It was in construction. So through the midst of all this construction, tons of high-rises built, there's condos there, there's new restaurants, there's some retail going in. We stayed at the Omni, which was probably only a couple of years old. Mm-hmm. The new conference center is over there. So if you can imagine the shack, as Tanya has described, with the roll-up windows mm-hmm. In the middle of all of that new construction. Yeah. And rather than go with
Follow the new vibe, yes, right, and change their look.
They stayed with who they are.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. It's important for... I think it was a good business decision for them mm-hmm. because it's a draw. You're walking around the harbor and you're passing all these, like I said, new construction, new buildings, mm-hmm. high, shiny, high rises. And then you see the Barking Crab and it's so in contrast to what's around it.
Really is.
It yeah. really pulls you in.
It really did pull us in to, well, we've got to try that because we had eaten the night before at an area in Seaport that is newly developed, mm-hmm. newer restaurant, mm-hmm. newer vibe. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of what led us to that is, well, surely they've got good seafood down there.
Right.
And I have to explain what we got because I'm still thinking about it.
I want to go back
yeah.
right now.
So we all decided to split a plate and it had lobster, scallops mm-hmm. and shrimp.
Yes.
And then it came with a few veggies. There was some amazing potatoes in there and mm-hmm. asparagus. Mm-hmm. And so we all split that plate and then we had another side plate that we each got as well. But I mean, it truly was amazing.
It was. Those scallops, I'm having dreams about those scallops.
Oh my gosh. I can still just savor how good it was.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But I love that was one of our best experiences mm-hmm. because it really does point out you need to always stay true to yourself.
It really does.
And yeah. following the crowd, maybe, mm-hmm. and following your friends in whatever they're doing, if that doesn't feel right to you, it probably shouldn't be what you're doing.
Right, right.
Stay true to who you are.
Yeah.
So lesson number two, mm-hmm. don't miss the signs.
Mm-hmm. And they were all around us in this experience.
Yes.
We were at Carmine's in New York City.
Yeah.
And if you don't know about Carmine's, it is a world-renowned restaurant. It's a staple of New York City. Yeah. It's been there forever.
I looked it up too.
Okay.
Nowhere on their Facebook page. They didn't have a website.
Interesting.
I think they're that old school. Yeah. They don't need a website. They don't. Right? Because so I couldn't find the age of it.
The food is amazing. So people flock to Carmine's. If you go to New York City, it's one of those, like I said, those staples.
Place you got to eat.
Yeah. But the thing that you need to know about Carmine's is that picture your platter that you serve your turkey, Thanksgiving turkey.
Agree. So I was actually thinking about the size of the platter last night. And I don't want to exaggerate.
No.
So help me stay true to myself here when I give these numbers. Yeah. But if you measure out 12 inches, a ruler in your hands.
Yes.
The platters were probably another 6 or 8 inches.
I was
going to
say 18. Yeah.
Okay. So probably each platter is 18 inches.
Yeah.
And the whole concept is they serve everything family style.
Right.
So you don't go in there to get, which was a big mistake of ours. We couldn't see the forest through the trees.
We couldn't.
Angie couldn't order a steak, and I couldn't order fish, and Barth couldn't order a steak. You order together. And although we know this, and I had eaten there before, and Barth had eaten there before, and you had too, we knew it, but it was as if we didn't want to accept it, right?
Yeah.
So even our waiter, when he came to the table, and these are waiters that have probably worked there their whole lives, right?
Yeah.
They know the mistakes people make in ordering. They know the menu top to bottom. Mm-hmm. There was no question we could have asked him that he didn't know the answer to.
Right.
And when he was explaining everything, although we knew it was still served family style, we were not willing to listen.
Yes.
We didn't listen.
We didn't. No. Or believe our eyes, because there was other food being served around us.
Correct.
In these platters. And there were four of us.
Yes.
And we saw the platters, the 18-inch platters that you could serve Thanksgiving turkey on. And yet we still ordered three entrees.
We did. Yeah.
Two pastas. I can't eat pasta.
Two pastas.
So we ordered a salmon that was at least an 8-pound salmon.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I think it was giant. It was giant. Even the salad. So I wanted to get salad because I can't eat pasta. Even the salad was big enough. It would have been fine for the four of us to share.
Absolutely.
That big.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know that Barth ate any salad. I can't remember.
So.
The three of us ate salad.
Yeah.
But imagine an 18-inch plate stacked full of lettuce.
Yes.
Like, it didn't look like we had touched that thing.
No.
Sadly. So even though the waiter is saying, you don't need all this food, like, he pretty much discouraged in every way possible rather than saying that.
Yes.
And Barth had already established he had to have this pasta dish, which was a red sauce with meat, with beef. And so he had already said, we have to get that.
Yeah.
And I'm just declaring that from the get-go. Well, Whitney and I wanted to try the white sauce, and actually it was a garlic sauce. It wasn't even a white sauce, on noodles, and that had chicken in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Barth's dish with the red sauce that is 18 inches. Mm-hmm. Then we have the angel hair noodles with the garlic sauce that is 18 inches full, like piled high. They're proud of their food. And then we have the salad that we've already been eating on.
Yes.
And then they bring Angie's salmon. Talk about gluttonous.
Oh, like, my goodness.
When I say we could have fed 20 people, we absolutely could have fed 20 hungry people.
Yes.
20 hungry people.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, the amount of food. And we laughed. And I'm sure our waiter was like, these idiots, I'm trying to educate them on how much food they're going to have on their table that they won't even be able to barely fit it all on the table, much less eat it all.
Right.
And they didn't listen to me. So as gluttonous as it was, we didn't listen.
We didn't. It was delicious. But the lesson here is to pay attention to the signs around you. Pay attention to what people are trying to tell you. I'm not saying that you should follow everyone's lead, but he was certainly trying to being the experienced person at the table, our server, being the experienced person that he was, knowing the menu, as you said, like he did, he gave all the warning signs.
He did.
And we just didn't listen.
We didn't listen.
So pay attention to the signs. Look up. I've already mentioned that. The signs are right in front of you if you take the time to observe them.
And the two words that I would add to that is to pause. Mm-hmm. So that comes along with probably looking up.
Mm-hmm.
Pause and rethink before you get gluttonous and you overorder. And what a shame it is to leave that much food on the table. Like, I felt so guilty after we had eaten what we could eat, and I was sick in various ways, so I could only eat probably a small portion of what I generally could eat.
Yeah,
and it was overwhelming.
Yes.
So pause and then discuss.
Yes,
really discuss what the signs are that are being laid out in front of you, and if there's blaring signs, and I know we've all made big mistakes in our lives and small mistakes that we just kick ourselves afterwards and we're like, dude, I saw the signs.
Yeah.
Why did I not listen?
Yeah.
So those are the lessons in that. Don't miss the signs and pause, stop to discuss and look up and make sure you're seeing it before you order all the gluttonous food. Okay. So moving on to lesson number three.
Yes.
Learning the art of the pivot.
Learning that art. So serendipity, we're back to New York City now, or we're still in New York City, I guess.
Yeah.
One of the other infamous restaurants is Serendipity. The movie Serendipity, there's a scene at the actual restaurant of Serendipity.
Right.
It is just up from Central Park, and I've been there. I go there every time I'm there. I have good memories of visiting there and love their atmosphere. It's just eclectic and fun. And you're right in the heart of the East Side. And so I had told everybody that we had to go to Serendipity.
Yes,
I'd kind of built this
up. You declared
it. I'd said, we've got to go to Serendipity. And in my mind, I was thinking, we'll have lunch somewhere, and then we'll go walk through the park, and then we'll walk up to Serendipity and have a dessert, because that's what they're known for. They're known for their sugary concoctions, and it's delightful. And that's, in my mind, what I pictured we would do.
Right.
So, however, the day started out differently.
It did.
And we decided to go to Central Park that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so we checked in on Rockefeller Center.
Mm-hmm. We did.
And then
had to see what Hoda and Jenna were
doing. Yeah, we needed to check in because we'll be on there one day.
Actually, it would have been Hoda and Savannah at that point. It was early.
It was early. Yeah, yeah. So we wanted to kind of check out where we will be interviewed one day.
Right.
And then we walked on up to Central Park. And we wanted to see as much of Central Park as we could. Again,
we did.
Tanya didn't feel well most of the trip.
Right.
So, but we wanted to take in as much as we could. So we walked around Central Park. We'd had breakfast that morning. Like I said, made our way up to Central Park, walked around. I don't know. We were probably in Central Park for a couple hours.
I would say three.
We might have been.
We walked leisurely and when you're in Central Park, you can pull up the map and you can see different destinations that you might want to go look at. And from different vantage points of Central Park, you can see the skyscraper or landscape of the skyscrapers, which is great picturesque moments that you can get pictures at, which we did. But we just didn't really have an agenda other than Serendipity.
Right.
And so we really took in all the sights of Central Park, enjoyed it. Again, it was beautiful weather.
Beautiful.
The trees were still turning.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lovely, crisp morning, but later in the day you had to shed clothes because it warmed up to the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So the weather could not have been more fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
And as we made our way around kind of the edge of Central Park of where we wanted to go, we ended up at the Met because we wanted to walk by the Met.
Mm-hmm.
And it was lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
So we had contacted our friend Barth and said, it's lunchtime, we're hungry, where are you? And he had made his way up that way as well. We just hadn't taken that trek together.
Right.
So we decided serendipity for lunch.
Yeah, yeah. And it was good. It was, you know.
Yeah, not disappointed.
Not disappointed. Great burgers.
Yes.
Again, part of why you go to Serendipity is for the atmosphere and the eclecticness of it.
Yeah.
But I'd never eaten a meal there.
Right.
And these burgers were, again, we ate a lot of food.
Good-sized burgers.
Good-sized burgers, fries, you know. So
don't forget the chili dog.
The chili dog, yes.
I got the burger. Whitney got the chili dog. We split them so we could taste both. And the chili dog was spot on.
Was it?
Okay. Yes, it was amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah, we had a great lunch. It was kind of fun to see because it's a kind of a theatrical, fun, sugary feeling in there. Like, you can smell the sugar.
Yes, you can.
And there were kids there. I noticed there were parents with children there enjoying their whatever. Well, most of them were eating lunch and then would have a dessert.
Uh-huh.
And I saw some grandparents there with children. Mm-hmm. There was a dad sitting right next to us with his child. So it was just kind of fun to see, you know, here four adults were eating lunch at this well-known restaurant for their sweets and lots of kids around us. But so that was kind of fun to see. It's a destination for the locals as well. They looked very local.
Yeah.
That they were potentially just having a lunch there with a grandchild or with their children.
Right.
So
that
was kind of cool.
Right. So we were so full, though, that we could not get a sugary concoction.
We did not. We didn't get dessert.
We didn't get dessert.
Yeah.
So, you know, the lesson here, as I was, you know, thinking through that, is really being open to the pivot.
Right.
Just because you have a plan, and you and I both are big planners.
We are.
We like to have
a
plan.
We love a plan.
We want to know where we're going, when we're going, what we're going to do when we get there. And we just had to pivot. You know, it was, and when you're on vacation, I think it's kind of easy to do that. If you're not too rigid, but in our day-to-day life, we all need to have a plan, but we really need to be flexible enough that we can pivot when needed and not get the dessert.
Agree. Don't get the dessert. And I think it's oftentimes the planner in us has to think that there constantly has to be a plan discussed. And Angie, I'm really proud of us.
Mm-hmm.
We went to New York City and didn't have a true plan.
We didn't.
We had talked about, we had basically broadly just said, does anybody have anything they really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because all of us had been there prior to this trip.
Right.
And I had done a lot of touristy things.
Mm-hmm.
As well as you had.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really went without having a defined plan.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about shopping, Central Park, and getting down to the Soho area and doing a little shopping down there and just kind of walking around. But I'm glad to say that neither one of us needed to have a defined plan. And really our days there, we were able to pivot easily and know that, like, we went to a Broadway show and saw the Book of Mormon. You've got a plan that night. You got to eat early. Your show's at 7. You know. But other than that, we really just didn't need that strenuous plan that sometimes vacations have to fit it all in.
Right.
So be ready for that pivot
and
know that sometimes the best things happen just lackadaisically and organically, for sure.
Yep.
All right, so we move on to lesson 4, and that is the shiny penny syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That one is so easy to get caught up in, right?
Yes, it is.
So we had reservations at a restaurant in the seaport on the wharf, and we were headed in that direction.
Yes.
And it was our first night in Boston, wasn't it?
It was
our first night. And none of us were familiar, even having been there before. I'd never been to the seaport side because it wasn't finished.
Right.
So none of us really had any experience with that particular area and really didn't know where to go. So you guys had gotten a recommendation from someone else in Missouri that had been to this restaurant. And so that's where we were headed. We're on our way. We have a plan. Mm-hmm. We're headed to Legal Seafood.
Right.
And lo and behold, on our way,
what distracted us?
Outside seating.
a patio.
Patio.
So mm-hmm. Angie and I have a lot in common, but one thing we love is a good patio. Mm-hmm. And again, it's 80 degrees in Boston. Yeah. It's a beautiful evening. Like you barely need sleeves on. We had sleeves on, but you barely need it.
Yeah.
So we're walking down. The nightlife is alive. Mm-hmm. Seaport area is super clean. A lot of energy down there. Mm-hmm. Feels new, like you've described. Mm-hmm. And we're on our way, and we actually get like past this patio mm-hmm. that we spot on our left. And we all look at each other, and we're like, oh, we really want to sit outside. And we didn't know anything about the legal seafood restaurant other than we'd seen kind of, we'd peered in the front windows, mm-hmm. and it didn't appear to be the same vibe
right.
that we could get at this restaurant on our left.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So what do?
Yep.
We pivot to the left and we're like, okay, the patio's winning. We want to sit here on the wharf. We want to look out at the water. We're going to go into this other restaurant. We'll just cancel that legal seafood mm-hmm. reservation. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we didn't cancel it yet. We were going to get inside and get sat first. And in many of these places, you do need a reservation.
Right, yeah.
So we go inside. We ask the hostess or host to seat us. There's three of us. And we'd like your outdoor seating, please. What does he say to us? I'm sorry, we don't have enough staff here tonight mm-hmm. to seat any more people out there. So you will have to sit inside and there will be a wait.
Mm-hmm.
And we all look at each other. And we're like, okay, well, the whole reason we were coming here, we know nothing about this restaurant, mm-mm. was sit on your patio. We're out.
Yeah.
So we turn around. We run into our Missouri realtor family.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had a reservation that night.
Probably. Yeah.
And we're probably disappointed they didn't get to sit on the patio.
Probably. Yeah.
We go back to our reservation at Legal Seafood, and we're like, okay, well, you know, maybe we'll get lucky here. And
it looks like just your street side restaurant,
it
right?
Does.
The front, you can't see to the back side, so you're just looking at it, and it's like, and Legal Seafood
is kind of a bar area there on the front.
Right.
Yes.
And it is a chain.
It is.
It's just a chain that's in the upper Northwest, but it is. So, you know, we were expecting what you might expect with any other chain restaurant.
Yes.
You know, that it's going to be okay, but it's just going to be a street side restaurant.
Yeah. And lo and behold, she says, okay, reservation for three, right this way. We walk with her past what you could see on the sidewalk, which was our impression, right? Mm-hmm. That's our first impression.
Mm-hmm.
We walk past all of that into what was the heart of the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
out to this amazing patio. She takes us and sits us right on the patio. And this is not even a real patio per se. The whole backside of their restaurant has garage doors or sliding doors that mm-hmm. open up.
Mm-hmm.
So their entire back of their restaurant is open to the harbor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all look at each other like mouths wide open, falling to the floor. What an amazing view.
And
our table was sat right on the edge of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah, you couldn't ask for anything better. And again, we couldn't see that from the front. So sometimes you don't see what's inside.
That's right.
You're judging something from its cover.
That's right.
And we really... that's another lesson. We just shouldn't judge things by their people or
that's
experiences
right.
by the cover of what you can see just glancing in. And not being distracted by that shiny penny, because the food was also really good there.
Yes.
We had a good meal.
It was great.
Yeah, we had some chowder.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes, great salad. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had really good food.
Yeah.
And I think what I want to point out with that lesson, Angie, thinking about our leadership roles that we have now and have had in the past, is oftentimes you judge a book by its cover, right? Maybe you've heard something about someone, you don't know them, and you've never had a personal experience, but mm-hmm. you are judging them based on what you've heard and what you think you've seen based on that opinion mm-hmm. of someone mm-hmm. else.
Yeah.
And actually, when you get to know that person,
mm-hmm.
you can see even the leadership qualities in them that maybe you can help to draw out
right.
to get past the opinion that others might have.
Right.
So I think our big lesson there is don't ever judge the book by its cover, whether it be a person, an experience, mm-hmm. a restaurant
right.
in this case.
Right.
Give it a chance.
Right.
And you might actually be really, really pleased with what you get.
Right.
Yes.
And don't be easily distracted. We have people, you know, you always have people who think the grass is greener on the other side, right?
For sure.
That's
we
the
all think that.
Shiny penny syndrome.
That's
we,
right.
We think, you know, we're headed in one direction and then, oop, we're distracted by the shiny penny.
Yep.
We really need to, again, it's sort of very similar to the first lesson we talked about in terms of it's another good time to pause and to take stock of where you are and if that shiny penny actually has substance.
Right. Agree.
So.
I agree. It's such a great lesson. It's a great life lesson, really.
Yep.
So we'll get to our fifth mm-hmm. and our last leadership lesson in eating.
Six.
Oh, we have six.
Yes.
I missed the six,
yes.
Angie.
Yes.
Okay, so five.
Yes.
All that glitters is not gold.
Yes.
And this was us eating on our last night
mm-hmm.
there. Well, my last night there. You
right.
stayed one more night. And
yeah.
it was called Coquette.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in our hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So we all had had a busy day with traveling over Boston on foot.
Mm-hmm.
Me on train, you on foot.
Yeah.
And it was colder that day.
Yes.
It was cold and brisk and windy. And we decided to stay in our hotel and eat in the restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
And the restaurant itself, you didn't know this until you got inside of it. It had a flavor of pink on everything,
mm-hmm.
which was very interesting.
Yeah.
You would think, and you might hear that and think pink, but it was so, their decor was so lavish.
Yes.
And yet.
Lavish is a good word. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It really was.
Pink.
Pinks and golds and creams
yes.
and just feathers
very
everywhere.
Fancy.
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 Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. so our lesson here, all that glitters is not gold. Super cute. Lots of fun decor. Food was good.
It was good.
It was good.
Not great.
They missed the point on service.
Yes.
It was, we had terrible service.
Yes.
Terrible.
And I think it resonated so much that night because we'd been gone. This is, like you said, your last
yes.
night. So we'd been gone for several days now. We're all tired. Again, it's cold. And the wind at that point in Boston was just cutting. It was,
yeah.
we didn't want to leave our hotel. We wanted to stay in the warmth. And the restaurant, it did glitter.
Yeah.
It really did. And you thought, oh, this is going to be an amazing experience. And
mm-hmm.
the food was good.
Food was good.
But we had to wait on our server several times to,
yes.
and it wasn't like they were that busy.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people
they weren't.
In the restaurant business give that excuse, we're so busy, but it wasn't that. It was just a lack of attention to our table and
yeah.
maybe to others. And I think that we really need to, when we're thinking about lessons in leadership, just because it has all the bells and whistles,
right.
if you will,
yes.
the glitter. It doesn't mean it's the greatest and the best.
Agree.
Just if we take everybody back to our original lesson on the barking crab, it didn't glitter.
It didn't
glitter at
no.
all. But boy, it was the best. So just keep that in mind as you, I think as leaders, we need to try to lead in a direction, you know, not be boastful about what we've got and why someone should do business with us, but really get to the heart of the matter and talk about the gold that
yeah.
is within us.
The
and
substance.
Within the substance
yeah.
within our companies, within our teams. I think it's important to highlight that and get past the glitter.
Yes, absolutely. And I have a confession.
Okay.
I have some regret.
Oh, okay.
I have some regret with that last night and Coquette.
Mm-hmm.
The food really was really good. And mm-hmm. we had a steak that night instead
mm-hmm.
of seafood.
Right.
Because I just was feeling a steak.
Mm-hmm.
And their presentation was beautiful and they did a great job on the actual food itself. But I have regret that we didn't go back to the barking crab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you highlighted we were cold, we were tired, we all just wanted to eat so we could go back to our room and relax. Because it had just, by this time, we're at the tail end of our trip. And I had a thought earlier that night that we really should go back to the Barking Crab. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to get back out and walk 15 minutes and get back in the cold.
Yeah.
So I have regret over that last night.
Yeah.
Especially with the service we got. Promise, hands down, we would have been way more happy with the Barking Crab again.
Absolutely. I agree. So. I agree. So our final lesson, lesson six, was take an interest in the people that you serve. And when I think about service that we had in all across New York and Boston, we had some really pretty good service.
We did.
And there were a couple of times that it was lackluster, like at Coquette. But I believe that one of the best experiences in terms of service that we had was at Savor.
Yes.
We had just broken. We had been at the conference and we'd been in meetings that morning and we had some time between meetings and we needed to go get lunch. And we just happened across this restaurant and it was easy for us to get in and just, you know, none of us had any expectations though.
No.
Because we didn't
know. We just needed lunch.
We just needed lunch.
Yes.
And our little server was so engaged. He asked questions about us. He wanted to know where we were from. And and he was engaging in terms of when he found out we were realtors and where we were from. He wanted to know the average sales price. And he gave us a little tip that a parking place on Beacon Hill had just sold for $250,000, which is slightly below our average home price.
Right. Yes.
So it was just, and he asked us questions. I'm gluten-free, and I appreciate when servers say, is that an allergy or, you know, just, you know. So I appreciate that he took the time, and he said, what you ordered should be fine, but I'm going to ask the chef anyway if anything's going
to
bother you.
He paid special attention
to
that.
Yeah. I just thought he did a really good job of taking an interest in the people he was serving.
Yeah, and being genuine and getting to know us. And for him, it's probably way more than all about the tip, right?
Yeah, right.
Because you could tell his genuine interest in us. And this is just lunch, guys. We're just one table, one blip on the radar.
Yeah.
Will he remember us? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because he probably served a lot of realtors last week.
Probably.
But his level of interest in us as people and not just the food that we were getting ready to buy from him was so genuine. It was almost shocking.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get that kind of service generally from just regular waiters in a regular restaurant.
Right.
You know, and I can't say that any of our other experiences together were anything like that.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, you'll go to restaurants and you can tell that they're prompted with scripts. Like if you go to Seven Brew, and I love Seven Brew, but you can tell they're prompted to say, what are you doing today? What's going on today?
Yes.
It's not really something that they've come up with on their own.
Right.
It's something that they've been trained to try to engage their customers on.
Which I love that concept.
I love that too.
Good job, Seven Brew.
Yes, we appreciate that. But really with him, it was, you hit on it, it was authentic. It was, no one had coached him to, sure he was coached to be kind to his customers and ask questions, but not to that degree. Nobody, he was asking questions that were just, he was just curious.
Yep.
He took an interest in us as patrons of the restaurant, but also took an interest in what we did and enough to ask us some questions, and then took another interest in terms of his job in making sure that we were all going to walk away pleased and not with a, you know, stomach ache from eating gluten.
Glutinous food.
Yes, yes.
I think for me, the leadership lesson there about being genuine and really trying to get to know people really goes way beyond leadership, and it just goes to how kind you can be when you're interested in someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think as, you know, we get older and we gain wisdom with our wins and our losses in life, that being genuine and asking people how they are or how they feel, and reminding yourself that you don't need to be the only one that's talking.
Right.
And that you're asking real questions or you're complimenting people. A compliment goes a long way.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't ever get compliments right. through their life.
Right.
So I think that is just one example of being genuine and giving just a little bit in relationships versus taking and right. just talking about yourself.
Right. Tanya, that's a perfect segue into us wrapping this up, because I want to kind of leave our listeners with something that I did take away from the conference, and you weren't able to go to this particular session, but Marcus Buckingham, he's an author, he's a researcher by trade, he looks at trends and statistics, and he's written 10 books. One of them is Now Discover Your Strengths and Love Plus Work. And there were a couple of really good takeaways that kind of ties in with our last lesson there. He had a slide on the screen, but first I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
He had one word, he talked for a bit, he had this lovely English accent, so he was really fun to listen to. But he talked for a bit, and he talked about statistics, and he talked about trends, and then he said, but I will tell you that when it comes to providing an experience and a level of service and leadership that will get your clients to come back to you again and again, mm-hmm. there is one word that you need to tie into your vocabulary in every situation that you are in.
Okay.
Got any guess as to what that is?
You're catching me off guard here,
Angie. I know.
No, I don't know.
Okay. Well, and you probably wouldn't get it, because we don't think about this word in terms of work and business, because it's not used in that term mm-hmm. very often. But the word is love.
Mm. Yep.
If you boil everything down to what we do and providing service, it comes from a level of heart. If you're doing mm-hmm. it the right way, if you're doing it authentically, it comes from the heart, which is love. His quote on the screen was, to create extreme positive outcomes, we must design love into the experiences of those we serve and we lead.
I love that.
So I thought that was maybe a good way for us to wrap this up, and something to think about in terms of, I know we don't use that word in the workplace, but the way he described it, it was perfectly on point. Because if you are a servant leader and authentic in your leadership, mm-hmm. it really is an expression of love.
I love that.
Yeah.
So we just want to remind our listeners to go forward with what you're doing today and tomorrow with love.
That's right.
Show it, express it, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. if you work from the heart and you lead from the heart, you can't go wrong.
That's right. So be sure to share this episode with someone who might appreciate our lessons from dishing across New York and Boston. Thank you to Gershman Mortgage. We appreciate your time and effort put into the production of this broadcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.